Star changing course. Dora Penny and Mocketeel. Indian Creek Spanish Star is coming with a rattle, and Spanish Star is going to do it again.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Yes, good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on another Sunday morning. Sunday morning reserved for maybe some handicapping, a little news and whatnot, but a lot of race replays. And yesterday was a big stakes day. Across the country with some Breeders' Cup implications, some nice performances, some surprising performances. Had a lot of fun watching and playing yesterday. Hopefully you did too. Want to thank everybody at Columbia Turnpike. We went out there for a customer appreciation day yesterday. Nice little crowd showed up. We had some food. We had a fun contest. Folks playing and enjoying some Belmont at Aqueduct and some Keeneland and some of the other venues as well. So thanks to the folks that run the branch for hosting us, and thanks to everybody who turned out. It was a fun day, Columbia Turnpike. If you haven't been out there, nice little branch right on Route 20 in Rensselaer. Hop, skip, and a jump from Albany, and a nice little spot to watch your racing action. So again, thanks to everybody at the Columbia Turnpike branch for a fun afternoon yesterday. All right, let's get into some of the stakes action from yesterday, because there was plenty of it, and we'll take a look at some Belmont, some Keeneland, and some Woodbine. There was also some nice stakes action out at Santa Anita as well that, as I say, will have some implications in the Breeders' Cup. I'm not so sure on the sprint division whether the Vosburg will play into that. This was, it seemed to be the consensus amongst folks talking about it and on Twitter and whatnot, this was not the strongest edition of the Vosburg. Field of five lined up in here. The 1-2 favorite was Elite Power. I liked Southern District in here. Was the second choice at 3-1. Didn't get much of a run from the Chad Brown, Klarovich performer. Southern District wound up fourth. But Elite Power, the 1-2 favorite, the number four horse. Gets gutsy here because it does look like Eastern Bay, the number three, had a little momentum, but about the eighth pole or so, Elite Power said, nah, you're not going to catch me. And chart margin winds up to be just about six lengths. And again, the winning price, $3. So a short-priced favorite in the Vosburg. But as I say, yeah, it wasn't much of a field, and I don't know whether that this was a win and you're in race. I didn't hear whether the connections, but it's Bill Mott and Judd Mott. You would think win and you're in, they'll take a shot. In a division that, as demonstrated by this, maybe you take your shot in here. I think there are some performers that are okay in this sprint division this year that are very good even, but it's not full of those types. And again, that was demonstrated by the field we had yesterday in the Vosburg. So Elite Power gets it done in one of the stakes races that was kind of an eh on the afternoon. But there was other performances that were a little more exciting. And for those of us here at OTB, and for those of you who maybe watched the handicappers report yesterday or pulled up the one sheet, the Matron at Belmont at Aqueduct was one of those more exciting races. Hat tip to our colleague Anthony Mormino, and I tweeted it out, a little cut from the handicappers report yesterday with Anthony looking at Belmont at the Big A. And when he got to the Matron, he said, I am paraphrasing, but he said, this is my bombs away play of the day with American Apple at 30-1, his top pick. And we'll watch the stretch run here. And it's American Apple, the number three horse, at 47-1. 30-1 was the morning line. 47-1. American Apple getting the move here in the at the top of the lane and getting the lead, and you can see number seven, Redefine, come and has the momentum, but then American Apple again. You're not going to go by me, and American Apple gets it done. So, again, congratulations to our colleague Anthony Mormino for picking the $97 winner on top. But not only that, if you watched the show yesterday or looked at the one sheet, he had the cold exacta. So the exacta for a buck, $194 and change. So, again, good call by Anthony Mormino yesterday in the Matron. I like Redefined. Redefined did make a nice late run there, and Redefined was the second choice at 5-2. Dance Macabre was the favorite at 5-2, but slightly ahead of Redefined. Redefined, again, made a nice little move there and seemed to have the momentum, but American Apple had a little more punch when it came to the run late. But I thought Redefined ran well. Dance Macabre, coming out of a win down at Kentucky Downs, was third. But they're all lightly raced. I mean, Redefined, it was only the third career start. So I think that one is in good shape. Certainly American Apple now, coming out of a maiden breaker down at Kentucky Downs and you know, getting the graded stakes win will be fun to watch going forward. And, as I say, hopefully folks were on board and paying attention yesterday to either the show in the morning, the handicappers aboard, or you pulled up the one sheet and played along there, because nice call by Anthony Mormino there with a big price. Subsequently, a little bit later on, we had the Turf Classic. The interesting entrant in here, obviously, was Warlike Goddess, stepping in against the boys after a little bit of a disappointment in the Flower Bowl last time up at Saratoga. Close up second, had some traffic to overcome, and wound up second in that Flower Bowl as the 1-5 favorite. Was looking to rebound with a step in against the boys and kind of a salty group here. Gufo was in here. Ad Hamo was in here. Rock Emperor from Chad Brown. But Warlike Goddess, I took a little stand against her, but she's the two here. And you can see when she straightens out and has open field ahead of her, she looks really good. Warlike Goddess getting it done. Running second in here was number one, Bye Bye Melvin. And third, Astronaut at 67-1. The number seven chicklet you see kind of at the back of the pack, and there at the back of the pack, that was Gufo last as the second choice at 5-2. I like Gufo in there. And it may just have been, you know, top of the stretch, Gufo was kind of in a spot that if he had a little run, could have, I don't know, won, but could have been in the hunt. But that, you know, when that opportunity presented itself and he had no run, it may just be a fact that stringing the two races together, the Sword Dancer victory and the close-up second in the Rich Stake down at Kentucky Downs, maybe the two races, they were basically a couple weeks apart. And again, there was big money down at Kentucky, so no fault going down there and taking their shot. They lost by that much. But maybe putting a couple of races like that together just took a little bit of the starch out of Gufo. I haven't read any follow-up. Last night I looked around, didn't see anything. But we shall see what the situation is with Gufo, because that was a little bit disappointing. But very impressive for Warlike Goddess, as she is now 9-for-12 in her career. It was a solid 105 buyer for her. It sounds like Bill Mott and company will aim to take on the boys in the Breeders' Cup turf. I think they feel like the Breeders' Cup filly and mare is maybe a little too short for her. And so they come out of the victory yesterday against, you know, a legit field of males. And Bill Mott said, you know, we're going to be up against it a little more, obviously, in the Breeders' Cup. But she kind of acquitted herself. We're going to take the shot. So it looks like that's going to be the game plan with Warlike Goddess to step up against the boys. When it comes to the Breeders' Cup, and she did acquit herself very nicely yesterday. As I say, I took a little bit of a shot against her, but she looked really good in the stretch there, getting it done, again, with a really solid number as well. Chart margin was just under 3 lengths, so that was a really nice performance from War Lake Goddess. Let's move on to Keeneland, take a look at some of their action yesterday, because, again, they were stakes loaded as well. No surprise in the Woodford. Golden Pal goes out at the 37-cent to the dollar favorite, Golden Pal being the number four horse here. I like Golden Pal. I put Oceanic in the second spot at 13-1. That one completes the exacta, and Artemis City Limits runs third. Chart margin here is a length and a half. And again, they're making a little ground late, but I don't, well, if you, I was going to say, I don't think, I know, if you had Golden Pal, you weren't really sweating it late. As I say, they were making up a little bit of ground, but pretty much all the way around for Golden Pal under Irod Ortiz. So it was a nice performance for the Wesley Ward runner. Went over and, again, had that quirky situation in the King Stand at Ascot back in June. Rebounded for that from that with a win in the Troy up at Saratoga in the start prior to yesterday. And then jumps in and gets a win in the Grade 2 Woodford for Wesley Ward and company. So nice performance, and again, at the price, an expected performance for Golden Pal. In the TCA, Thoroughbred Club of America, for the ladies going six. I like Caribbean Caper. Sconson was in here. It was a nice little field. And down at the bottom of my mix, I used Slam that I mentioned yesterday when we were looking at the race. Slammed New Mexico bred, trained by Todd Fincher. Todd Fincher, if you're not familiar, is a guy who was kind of based down in the Southwest, but a prominent, high percentage guy down there. But this year, it seems like maybe, at least this part of the year, it seems like maybe he's branching out. Going to be interesting to follow him. Senior Buscador went a couple of days ago, and both Senior Buscador and Slammed have been based at Churchill, and, you know, potentially moving on to the Breeders' Cup for Todd Fincher. So as I say, he's a guy who down in the Southwest is fairly well known. Up here, maybe not so much, but maybe a guy to keep your eyes on going forward. Because Slammed yesterday had come out of a couple of races at Del Mar, an optional claiming win back in July, and then a close-up second in a stakes race in August. But Slammed, the number seven horse here, gets it done, and pretty convincingly in the TCA. You know, and as I say, a New Mexico bred. You don't see a lot of those jumping up to win graded stakes races at Keeneland, but does it, as I say, very convincingly. Running second, Happy Soul, Joyful Cadence runs third. Caribbean Caper, the horse that I liked and talked about in the morning, that one wound up to be a later scratch. And Sconson, again, I had that one a little bit down in my mix, but boy, I like Sconson. Sconson wound up sixth in the field of eight, so a little bit disappointing there. But Slammed, I was a little bit surprised. Certainly, as I say, had shown some talent out at Del Mar in the past two starts, but I was a little bit surprised being, you know, New Mexico bred, but a talented one. But a lot of the victories, I mean, this horse came into the race yesterday 8-for-11, and a lot of the victories were Albuquerque Down, Zia Park, Sunland, but did have the two nice races at Del Mar. But again, I was a little bit surprised, you know, regardless of that nice record. Horse went off as the favorite, so the betting public nailed it there. Florent Giroux hops on board and gets it done. So, as I say, Slammed one to watch going forward, certainly, but maybe more significantly, with the performances now Slammed and Senior Buscador, trainer Todd Fincher, who, as I say, seems to be maybe branching out. We'll, you know, get a better idea of that over the next 6 months or so, whether that continues or whether at this point he just has, you know, a couple of nice horses he's moving around with. But again, if you're not familiar with the name, tuck it in the back pocket going forward. All right, let's move on to take a look at more of the action at Keeneland. The First Lady, the Phillies and Mayors on the turf at a mile. I liked Regal Glory, but I said there were three Chad Brown horses in here. Regal Glory, Technical Analysis, and In Italian. And I said, I think you could juggle those up and have just about the same amount of confidence on any of them. Princess Grace, I thought, was a little bit interesting if you wanted an alternative. Vigilante's Way, maybe from Shug, was potentially interesting. But again, when I talked about the race yesterday, I said I thought it probably goes through one of the three Chad horses, and just going to come down to which one gets it done. And after the race, Chad Brown said essentially the same thing. They were all in great position as they came around, and they were where he wanted them to be. It was just who was going to kick off, and who kicked off? In Italian kicks off. In Italian, number four horse, Regal Glory, the favorite, runs second, and running third in here was Princess Grace for Mike Stidham. So it was a Chad Brown exact in here, with an Italian paying $7.74. Regal Glory runs second, so the Chad Zacta, a little over $16 in there. After the race, again, Chad said they were running right where we wanted them to. It was just a matter of who kicks away, and it was in Italian. And after the race, said in Italian, now likely headed to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, where is Regal Glory going to face the boys in the Breeders' Cup Mile. So going to be interesting to watch those two going forward subsequent to the nice performance yesterday, running 1-2 in the First Lady. Also, yesterday, more two-year-old action. Always fun two-year-olds this time of year, and always fun two-year-olds this time of year because it'll play out a few weeks down the road in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and that I would assume would be the case for the winner yesterday in a nice full 14-horse field Breeders' Futurity down at Keeneland, Grade 1 event, $600,000 up for grabs. I like Forte. I said, going back to May, I was sitting in here when the horse broke his maiden in the career debut down at Belmont, and I said, that's going to be a horse to watch going forward for Pletcher and Rapoli. Todd Pletcher, after the race, kind of immediately said, we're looking at the Sanford. The horse comes up to Saratoga and disappointed a little bit as the favorite in the Sanford, running fourth. Then rebounded really nicely, winning the hopeful at the end of the Saratoga meet, and won it pretty convincingly. And off of those races, that maiden breaker, I was really impressed with the hopeful. I like Forte. Forte got it done in here. The number seven, Loggins, went off as the 1-2 favorite. Loggins coming out of a career debut victory at Churchill that got a lot of buzz and a lot of reaction. So Loggins runs second. You know, in a big race like this and only your second career start, that was an okay performance from Loggins. And the victory is just a neck margin in here. And Red Route 1 runs third at a big price of 59-1. But again, pretty good ding-dong battle with Forte getting it done over Loggins in the Breeders' Futurity. So two-year-olds to watch going forward, certainly. And you would think off of those performances, horses that'll be worth watching going forward into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Although out at Santa Anita, there's a lot of buzz that perhaps Cave Rock will wind up being the favorite off of his victory yesterday in the American Pharoah. So, again, the two-year-olds are always fun this time of year, speculating as to how they will move forward to be three-year-olds. But saw a nice performance from a couple of nice performances, Forte and Loggins yesterday down in the Breeders' Futurity. And finally, on the stakes side of things, at Keeneland yesterday, we had the Turf Mile. I went with Casa Creed, and I'll tell you what, at the top of the stretch, I thought I was in good shape here. Casa Creed was in a good spot and was moving nicely, and then just the rest of the field kind of went by. Casa Creed is the number nine horse, and you can see there sitting, what, about fifth on the outside in those the Lee Einsiedler pink colors, and seemed to add some momentum, and then here kind of flattens out a little bit. But the winner, Annapolis, gets it done in here. Three-year-old runner for Todd Pletcher. Irod Ortiz on board. Great day for Todd Pletcher and Irod Ortiz down at Keeneland. Comes out of a win in the Saranac. First race in the career against older horses, and a salty field of older horses, and does it pretty convincingly. Chart margin, a length and a half. Ivar, who I also liked in the race yesterday, had Casa Creed on top and Ivar second. And as I said, Ivar, when I handicapped this race, Ivar got some buzz in that Woodbine Mile. Folks were kind of thinking he was a legitimate contender in there, went off at 5-2. Just couldn't, you know, no match for modern games in that Woodbine Mile. But again, he had some nice buzz going in, ran a good second, and kind of validated that with a nice second again yesterday. Order of Australia, third, set piece, fourth. Casa Creed winds up fifth in there. So the three-year-old Annapolis, fairly lightly raced going in. Only six starts, but four wins. Had won the Saranac towards the end of the Saratoga meet. A little earlier in the Saratoga meet, was in that Saratoga Derby Invitational, part of that three-year-old turf series in New York, and had finished second behind the very talented Nation's Pride. Before that, had won the Manila, ran second in the Penn Mile, had won as a two-year-old the Pilgrim, and a maiden breaker in the debut up at Saratoga. So a pretty good-looking record. Never been out of the exacta in six starts going into yesterday. That continues. He's now 5-7. And I say year in and year out, I love that subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf. And he kind of validates the three-year-olds on the turf for this season and maybe moves to the top of the class, getting a great one towards the end of the year against, again, pretty salty field of turf runners down at Keeneland yesterday. All right, that takes you through the stakes action at Belmont at Aqueduct and Keeneland. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the action yesterday from Woodbine as well, because they had a nice card. Talked about it yesterday in preview with Ron Gierkink, so we'll do a little review as well. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. And again, as it is a Sunday morning, we're recapping some stakes action. And as you can see, I am all prepared. PPs and charts and whatnot. Always a lot of paper on a Sunday. Well, a lot of paper every day, really. But again, a nice stakes day up at Woodbine yesterday. And we talked about it with Ron Gierkink yesterday. And when we did, I mentioned there was a Cassie horse that was cross-centered in a couple of races and wound up going in the Woodbine Cares. Horse was called Firing Bullets. And I mentioned when we talked about both stakes races, I said, I'm going to be really interested to see what this horse does. Mark Cassie runner, Firing Bullets. The career debut was at Saratoga, the middle of the meet, 14th of August. He winds up eighth in a field of eight by 47 lengths. Went off at 5-2 that day. So took a little action and complete dud. And then Mark Cassie comes back in the second career start off the dud in the debut and cross-centers in two stakes up at Woodbine. That is very strange. Well, now we know why he was entered. In the Woodbine Cares yesterday, 12-1 on the morning line. I was not only interested to see number six horse we're looking at, Firing Bullets, not only was I interested to see the performance. I was interested to see the odds. And you can see here, chart margin is going to be a nose, and it is desperately close here with three right on the wire. Fearless Angel runs second, and No K Never for Wesley Ward runs third. Fearless Angel was the more logical of the Cassie runners. Fearless Angel had come out of a maiden breaker at Woodbine with a pretty good number, and No K Never, not surprisingly, was the favorite in here. It's Wesley Ward and Stone Street coming out of a couple of races, broke the maiden in May at Indiana, and then ran fourth in a stakes race at Saratoga. So those two had, you know, they're all lightly raced, but they clearly had better resumes than the horse who was beaten 47 lengths in the debut. But again, Firing Bullets, I was not only interested to see what the horse would do, but I was going to be interested in the odds, because what were people going to do? The horse did take a little action in debut, didn't run much, and 12-1 on the morning line. Well, the betting public, I guess, thought what I did. Well, it's Mark Cassie, particularly up in Woodbine, and why is he entering? And so the horse went off at 6-1, which I found a little bit intriguing as well. But as I say, why is Mark entering this horse in a couple of stakes races? Well, we know why. Nose victory in start number two for a horse that was still a maiden. And you got $15.60. The Mark Cassie Exacta in there came back $60 and change for a couple of bucks. But again, when I was handicapping yesterday, I mentioned that horse a couple of times because, as I say, it was cross-centered. And I said, this is a little bit intriguing scenario here. And now we know why, as I say, Mark Cassie took the pop. In the Arctic, Bound for Nowhere coming in off a win for Wesley Ward in the Highlander up at Woodbine early in July. Clearly going to be the favorite and was the 4-5 favorite. But Silent Poet had won this race a couple of years ago, the number 7 horse. And Casadero, who was a horse who showed a lot of ability early in the career in the barn of Steve Asmussen, that one to me was intriguing. Had laid off from January at Oaklawn and came back at Saratoga and moved to the turf and was racing for Brendan Walsh, and in the comeback effort ran third. So it was another one that was kind of, this is interesting. Second start back off a long layoff. They had the one turf try. And Casadero, the number 9 horse here, 20-1 on the morning line. But again, the betting public was maybe a little bit with me, found this one intriguing, so it went off at only 8-1. Casadero, Patrick Husband's on board, the 9 wins, Bound for Nowhere, 8 runs second, number 7, Silent Poet, runs third. But again, Casadero, who won the first two starts of the career going back to 2020, the Maiden Breaker and the Bashford Manor, then tried the Saratoga Special and disappointed there a little bit. But as a 3-year-old, couldn't quite show the early promise or live up to that, but was continuing to run decently. Then had the layoff earlier this year as a 4-year-old. Came back with the third at Saratoga. Now a nice little grade 2 win up at Saratoga, up at Woodbine in a turf sprint. For, as I say, Brendan Walsh up there. Again, it will be interesting to see what the game plan will be now for Casadero, because it seems like they've kind of, gone completely to plan B with this one. A horse that started the career, never stepped out of sprints, but they were all on the dirt. But the comeback effort, a turf sprint up at Saratoga, and now wins a turf sprint stake. So it'll be interesting to see what the game plan is for that one going forward, what the winter holds for Casadero. But nice performance yesterday up at Woodbine in the Nearctic. Durham Cup yesterday. And the winner here is going to be number 9, Who's the Star. The favorite wound up to be Frosted Over, and we talked a little bit about that one yesterday, the Mark Cassie runner, that had not performed fabulously in the last couple necessarily, but did look to get some action out of previous races. But Who's the Star, the number 9 horse, Nice late momentum here to get up over Artie Storm, who also looked pretty good coming out of a close-up second in the Seagram Cup. And then running third was War Bomber. The favorite frosted over, as I say, coming out of a couple of performances that were not much. Betting public went in that direction, though. That one winds up fifth. But who's the star? 9-1, so you got $20 and change. Comes out of a race down at Kentucky Downs. So we've had two or three so far we've looked at stakes performances yesterday from Kentucky Downs runners. Hadn't run well in the Turf Cup down at Kentucky Downs. Was 8th by 13 lengths in a field of 12. However, prior to that, had won the Niagara here at Woodbine on the turf. Moves over to the synthetic, though, yesterday for Mark Cassie. So, again, nice day for Mark Cassie as well. But gets it done at 9-1. Emma Jane Wilson on board. So, nice performance there in a little bit of an upset for, again, a horse who Mark Cassie earlier comes in with the maiden who had the dud in the debut and gets it done. And here he tries a horse who had never tried the synthetic before and gets it done with Who's the Star. So Mark Cassie kind of rolling the dice a little bit in some spots yesterday and coming up with nice results in stakes action at Woodbine. And finally up at Woodbine, not finally, there is actually a couple of more because there was a little stake towards the end of the day too. But the highlight of the day yesterday was the E.P. Taylor. And again, we talked about this one yesterday with Juan Gierkink. The interesting runner clearly was going to be the three-year-old filly Moira, who had in the previous start won the Queen's Plate. She had never been on the turf before. The five starts in the career were all synthetic with four wins, including that Queen's Plate win. Moira is going to be the number three horse. But Chad Brown had some runners in here, too, including number four, Rozier. Ron Gierkink talked about Rozier, and it was kind of interesting. He did mention first-time Lasix. Maybe that's something to think about. And Rozier does seem to benefit from that. Net victory. Moira, the number three, runs second. Flirting Bridge runs third, but there was a DQ. You can see Moira coming up the inside here, and on the outside, Rozier, a nice late run. But to get the inside post position a little earlier, Moira had fouled another horse. So the stewards took a look. Unfortunately, Moira, the three-year-old filly, steps in against older, tries the turf for the first time, and runs very well. A pretty solid second coming up the rail there, but did get disqualified from second to eighth. So a tough situation there. But Rozier gets it done for Chad Brown, Peter Brandt and company. She had started the career over in Europe, came over here, tried the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf last year and wound up seventh. And then in the first start in the Chad Brown barn, won the Bogey. Subsequently, fifth, fourth, fifth, the last couple of starts, the Diana, the Beverly D. So a little bit disappointing. But again, like Ron Gierkink mentioned, first time on Lasix, and that may have turned the corner or been the difference yesterday in the E.P. Taylor. Finally, as I say, they had a little stake towards the end of the day as well that we talked about, Ron. We talked about with Ron Gierkink, so I will show that because we did mention it. The Ontario Cares, five furlongs on the turf. And Ron mentioned Bushido. Bushido goes off as the 8-5 favorite. Bushido had one win under the belt, the career debut, solid five-length win with a nice-looking buyer. Bushido's the number eight horse here and does get it done pretty easily. You know, some horses close a little bit, but the chart margin still winds up to be just about three lengths. Chisler second, Ever a Rebel third, but Bushido now 2-for-2. Antonio Gallardo on board, a guy we think of a little more maybe as Tampa in the wintertime, but he's had a nice season up there at Woodbine. So 2-for-2 now, Bushido. Nice little two-year-old filly sprinting. Two-year-old on the turf up there at Woodbine. So we'll see what Bushido does going forward. Again, undefeated as a two-year-old, always impressive. And again, we're also talking turf sprinters, so what are the options or opportunities? What will they try with this one? It's just going to be interesting to see, because clearly there's some talent there, as demonstrated yesterday with the stakes victory in only career start number two. All right, we will take another break. Oh, wait, before we take the break, I did want to mention, and I asked Dan in the control room, Dan completely on the ball, because I did mention earlier the stakes performances at Santa Anita, and I did want to show the win yesterday. I'm not sure now what I did with the chart, but the stakes win yesterday from Cave Rock, because again, on Twitter, there was a lot. Oh, here we go. Here are my charts. On Twitter, there was a lot of buzz, and justifiably so, for Cave Rock, with folks anticipating this one as winding up the favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile off the win yesterday. Cave Rock is going to be the number five horse in here. Cave Rock, in the career debut, was automatically an eye-popper. Middle of August at Del Mar, wins the career debut with a 101 buyer. Two-year-old firing a triple-digit buyer is always impressive. Followed it up with a win in the Del Mar Futurity with a 98 buyer. And yesterday at 2-5, gets it done. The chart margin winds up to be over five lengths. The winning time, 143. The girls, a little bit earlier, there was a two-year-old filly race. They went 146, so he was 3 seconds faster than the girls. Here is the girls' race, and that's going to be, and tell me, tell me no lies. The no lies, however, is smushed together. I always get those wrong. Tell me no lies gets it done in here at a little bit of a price, but as I say, they were 3 seconds slower than the boys. So Cave Rock, just wanted to show that again with an impressive victory in the American Pharoah yesterday on the two-year-old side. And Baffert, now from one of the articles I read last night, four horses, including Cave Rock, aimed for various Breeders' Cup races. A couple of more are on the fence for Baffert, but he comes in loaded, certainly with Cave Rock in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile off the performance yesterday. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Mike Callahan will join us from the marketing department and from right out here. You see him in the clubhouse as well, and he's going to fill us in on some of the promos that are coming up, because in a few weeks with the Breeders' Cup, we are loaded with fun promos and events for everybody. If you show up here at the clubhouse or you're just playing from home or whatever, there will still be some opportunities. It should be a lot of fun. Breeders' Cup coming up right around the corner, as we kind of, with this weekend, got through, you would think, all the last preparations and whatnot. Maybe there'll be some stragglers, but we'll talk a little Breeders' Cup and what's coming up via Capital OTB right after this. Stay tuned.
Doesn't get any better than this, Tom. They're all in line, ready for the start.
And they're off.
American Pharoah comes into his final furlong. Breeders' Cup winner, a horse of a lifetime.
This is unbelievable.
It's one of the most sensational ever.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Stone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Baba. These two are travels head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. As promised, Mike Callahan, marketing department guy and clubhouse guy, and we're going to talk clubhouse events and beyond coming up to the Breeders' Cup. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Very good. Before we do that, though, I was happy to meet your family the other day. Your family stopped by the clubhouse racebook. You brought them into the TV
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, it was.
And you were headed out to pick some apples. So give us the rundown.
I forget the name of the place because my mom looked it up. But my sister came in town from Portland, Oregon. So I have two sisters. They both live far, far away. Portland, Oregon and New Orleans. And my sister Michelle was able to pop in. And we went apple picking as a family event, and it was fun. Yeah, I mean, I got a chance to, I didn't know how many apples there were. You know, you went there, and, I hadn't been apple picking in probably 20 years, so, there's like 20 different apples in each one.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that, so.
Yeah, there's like
so gala. So you go to the orchard, do they like point you to this
section? It's like a maze. It's literally, you get a map, and over in this section is the gala, the Macintosh, the Red Delicious.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then over in this section is the Granny Smiths and the this and the that. And
I'm a Granny and a Mac guy.
Yeah. I like the Macintosh. And then I tried the Gala. It's a little too tart for me. But again, you start to kind of see, just like in wine, right? A little bit sweeter, a little bit, calmer and stuff from there.
Good crowd picking?
Well, it was a Thursday afternoon, so we kind of missed the crowd. Yeah. But again, they had, besides the apple picking, you had, pies and
Cider donuts,
which we had. I had a couple.
I'm good on them too.
Yeah, they're delicious. It was a good time, and obviously good to see family.
Bob Baffert came to town, and he was amazed. I guess Southern California cider donuts are not a thing, but he had stopped at like a Stewart's. He's like, "What are these donuts?"
It kind of makes sense, right? Because it's I feel anyway that it's like something that goes along with like coffee. Like you have a cider donut and coffee, and since it's warm on the West Coast,
maybe
it doesn't kind of correlate with
and
each other.
There aren't as many apple orchards.
Exactly.
There.
But it was a good time, and obviously good to see my sister. I don't get a chance to see very often.
It was fun to meet them as the other day as well. You and I were talking when you sat down about Moira yesterday, and you were saying you watched the race and nice performance by her. What did you think of that and some of the other stakes performances yesterday?
Well, I was high on Moira, as many were, going into the Queen's Plate. Then she ran, a hole in a win in track record and, Queen's Plate record for 153 tries of the race. So her going up against Olders, her getting on the turf for the first time, question marks going into it. I did not think she was going to open up at 3-5. I thought, the quality of the race was there. I mean, Rogier to be 5-1 was sort of a gift. So if you had Rogier, I kind of thought Rogier was going to be 3-1. And Moira would be 2-1, and maybe the German Invader would be 7-2, and it would kind of be, okay, well, the hometown horse is getting all, some of the money, not the hometown horse is getting all of the money. So, kudos to you if you had Rogier. You go back, watch the race a couple times, and I was actually watching it with our TV director, Danny, live. I think bad timing to make a move. I thought you could have stayed behind horses and then waited for a couple of horses on the outside to get tired. Maybe sort of push them to the side and make your move from there. Sort of dove to the rail, just trying to find some room. Ultimately ended up running into that horse, get DQ'd. And besides that, she lost momentum completely because besides hitting the horse, she hit the rail. So for her to gain momentum and still keep coming, and I thought after the wire she was going to pass Rogier, she's one to consider. Now, they have a lot of options to consider. Maybe they sort of just say, the year's closed and it was a good year for us. Will come back as a 4-year-old, or what they had originally game planned, and the article that I read was if they could have a good showing in this race, that the Breeders' Cup was an option, and the fact that they did face race against Olders, the field wasn't the strongest besides Rogier and My Lady who came in from Germany. Now you're going to fit going to deep waters. We'll see how it goes for the connections, and they have a lot of.
She showed turf is not an option.
No, it's not at all. Yeah. And, she ran really, really well considering all the factors. So, again, we'll see ultimately where she goes, but I'm still a big, big fan of her. So,
Other stakes action, I will just once again tip my cap. How about our man Momino yesterday with the $97 horse?
I saw that on our Twitter page.
And the matron, that very good. Congratulations again to Anthony Moore. And get the cold exact in there.
We actually had a guy at the clubhouse who played all into that race, and then there was a 4-horse field after, and he ended up having the 13-1 shot with a $2 double. So the $2 double came back $860. I said, I said, he actually had just won our promo that we do, the Exacta board. So he had won a $10 food voucher. I said, you don't need the $10 food voucher anymore. You just hit the big double.
When it's going right, it's going right.
He was on fire, and good for him. And those are fun stories. I like to tell fun stories and people winning because, again, it's exciting.
And it's the fun part about kind of being down here at the Clubhouse Racebook Tour at a branch where you're playing with other people. You know, these days a lot of people play from home, including me. I have nothing against sitting on the couch and firing up OTB TV and playing on your computer, your tablet, but it's fun to come and kind of be with a crowd and enjoy the victories and get some opinions during the day and whatnot.
And that's really what it is, you know, especially, you know, I'm here at the Clubhouse every day, but it sort of starts to become like a family atmosphere where, like, you know, hey, what do you guys think? You know, these guys over here think this, these guys over here think that, and then some of them will obviously team up and collaborate. You know, most people will probably stay separate and bet what they want to do. But it sort of gives you multiple options, different viewpoints, and it's like a big giant seminar at the clubhouse,
yeah.
You know, because everybody's sort of given their opinion, and a lot of people understand horse racing like you and I do. So, you know, it's a great time. Stop down if you've never been before. So.
Yeah, absolutely. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. One more thing before we get to the promos, I will tell, because I meant to do it at the top of the show. Santa Anita today, the early pick five. There's a $406,000 carryover at Santa Anita today in the pick five.
Wow.
And I know
definitely
people love the pick fives.
Absolutely.
So, again, keep that in mind. Santa Anita today, early pick five, over $400,000 in the carryover. All right, let me tee you up here because as I promoed before the break, a few weeks down the road, the Breeders' Cup is coming up and Capital OTB has some promos and events that are going to be a lot of fun. And we want you to be aware of all of them and have plenty of head start to kind of make your plans for some of these promos and events. So let us know what's coming up.
Yeah, let's just walk through the agenda here. So reservations opened up this past Friday. You're going to see the slate here open up this Friday, past Friday on October 7th. Again, reservations are $5 per seat. And again, this is for reservations on Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. So $5 per seat, $20 per, you know, four-seat table. We also have six tops, too, so that'll be $30. But that $5 per seat will get you a commemorative Breeders' Cup glass along with paid admission. And again, right now we have lots of availability, but you know, that's a month away. We know how fast it can become, you know, packed in here. So definitely want to reserve your seat when you can. And again, it's going to be $5 per seat here at the Clubhouse Racebook. And again, for more information, you call 518-446-4010, or you can stop down to the clubhouse and reserve your seat here in person. So again, it's a great time, and usually we're sold out, so we're hoping for that again. And again, reservations for the clubhouse opened up this past Friday, and reserve your seat.
Excellent.
Yeah, then we're going to have the Breeders' Cup seminar on Wednesday, November 2nd. It's going to be live at 4 o'clock on that Wednesday with yourself and Anthony Mormino. It's going to be live on YouTube and also on Facebook. So if you can, watch it live. But it's also going to be taped and re-aired on Friday and Saturday morning. So again, if you can't watch it live on that Wednesday, you can watch it Friday and Saturday morning right before Racing Across America. And again, you guys will be walking through all the races. There's a lot to cover with 14 Breeders' Cup races. It's always a good time, different angles, different concepts. And again, that's something to look out for. Also on Friday, November 4th, we're going to kick off the first day of Breeders' Cup with the Bounty Bet. It's going to be at the Late Pick 5 attached at Keeneland. So normally $500 attached to the pool. So we'll see what the pool is at that point. We'll add $500 to it. And then also how it works if you've never been involved with the Bounty Bet. All you have to do is just wager through your account to be eligible. If your ticket wins, we'll see how many people actually win in that Late Pick 5. If two or more win, you'll split 25% of the pool. And if you're the only one, you take down the entire pool. So again,
You're only playing
against Capital OTB people.
Who are betting via Capital OTB Bet.
Which is the best part. So we've seen some Pick 5s come back $1,300, which in, you know, big retrospect, were probably hit by multiple people. But here at Capital OTB, may have only been hit by one or two. So you can really pick up a lot of money. So definitely get involved in the Bounty Bet there. On Saturday, we're going to kick off the fun. We're going to have multiple bankrolls on Saturday. So, you know, from previous years, we tried some of the syndicates and some big pick five tickets. We were out in the first leg a couple times. So we wanted to go a different angle. So we're going to have two bankrolls. One's going to be with Mike Rennie. One's going to be with yourself. So first, we'll talk about bankroll number one with Mike Rennie. It's going to be a $2,000 bankroll. And how do you get involved, and who is involved? So 40 patrons are going to be attached to the team. Those signups are going to be all online at capitalotb.com. So again, go to capitalotb.com starting on October 17th. You'll see an entry form. From there, just, you know, put your name into the hat. We'll draw the team on October 31st. So you're going to have 2 weeks of signups. So from those 40 people, you know, we'll actually send out an email saying you've made the team. Again, how it works is Mike's going to have $2,000 to bet with. Whatever money he makes is going to be dispersed amongst the team. And then I'll also mention the little side bonus that we're going to have, sort of a friendly competition between you and Mike as well. You'll see that there in the little bonus section. But again, if you do make the team, what makes you eligible? The way to become eligible is to wager through your account that day. And, you know, that automatically make you eligible for whatever money Mike's able to make. And again, with $2,000, he has a lot of action and a lot of coverage in some races. So hopefully he'll be able to make a lot of money for that team. And again, that's Breeders' Cup Bankroll Team Number 1 with Mike Rennie. And that's going to be all online based.
And just for folks who aren't familiar with Mike, Mike does the Smoke and Mare podcast with Mary.
Yeah, Lufo. We teamed up with him in the summer.
And I had Mike and Mary. Mike was in. Mike is based out on the West Coast, Northwest. Mary is from Saratoga, although she's going to school down in Pennsylvania, working on a post-grad degree, I believe. But we had him on with us up at Saratoga. And then, yeah, Mike had a bankroll up at Saratoga, made some.
Yeah, did pretty well. Yeah, he ended up having the pick four, I believe, Travis Day. And ended up making about $1,000 off of a $300 bankroll. So again, with $2,000, you know, there's a lot of money to be, you know, bet, and hopefully you can make a lot of money there. So that'll be a lot of fun. Also, we're going to have Breeders' Cup Bankroll Number 2 with yourself. Same type of concept, $2,000 starting startup, as long, you know, along with Mike Rennie. But the way to sign up is going to be a little bit different. So 40 patrons still attached, just like the previous bankroll. Sign up. Time frame will be the same from October 17th through the 30th. But the way to make this team is going to be signups at the clubhouse. So 20 patrons from the clubhouse will be attached to the team. And that signup time will be the same as the online entries from the previous bankroll. We'll also include the 10 highest wagering accounts from October. They will be attached. And then also 10 patrons will be attached from seats here, Breeders' Cup Saturday. So again, we talked about reservations and all that's included there, but it also will make you eligible to be part of your bankroll here. So it's another added bonus to be part of it as well. So again, you're going to have 10 people from the highest wagering account holders, 20 patrons from the clubhouse from the sign-up time frame of October 17th through the 30th, and then also 10 actually here live at the clubhouse on Breeders' Cup Saturday. That'll make up the 40, and then from there, it's the same type of concept. Whatever money Seth's able to make from the $2,000 wagers will be dispersed amongst the team. And then I'll talk about the bonus right now. It's actually going to be a head-to-head competition between Seth and Mike. Whatever bankroll is able to make more money, the account holders for that winning team will get an added $25 bonus to their account. So again, it's an extra $1,000 that we'll be giving away to the winning team. Nice friendly competition and a lot of fun. So we hope that the bankrolls are a big hit. And you know the ways to sign up for both of them. And then finally, we're going to have a Breeders' Cup bet attached with the Brooklyn Cowboy. It's going to be a $500 bet, and it's going to be one lucky patron here at the clubhouse. So we're going to choose from your bankroll those 10 people Breeders' Cup Saturday, and then the remaining people that didn't get chosen, we'll just keep that bin out. We'll choose one lucky patron. And that patron will be attached to $500 in wagers from Brooklyn Cowboy, who will be betting specifically on the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Very good. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
What? Could be lucrative.
Yeah. There's different ways. We tried to, you know, figure out the best way to go about doing it, where we included everybody. So we have the online section covered. You know, we have, you know, the VIP section covered. We have the clubhouse section covered, and we have everything going on. So a lot of different ways. You know, we're looking forward to the Breeders' Cup, and we hope that, you know, if you can bet with us online, if you can come down to the clubhouse, you can go to our branches and Easy Bets, you know, whatever the way is that you bet, you know, just enjoy Breeders' Cup, and, you know, We'll see where it comes, you know.
Should be a lot of fun. I mean, the Breeders' Cup, you know, I said yesterday morning, we cry a little bit when Saratoga ends and sad to see it go. But we always say, you know, the racing continues and the Breeders' Cup's around the corner. And it seems like pretty much every weekend since Saratoga has been pretty good and pretty solid with stakes races that are playing into the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's been fun to kind of watch and you know, it's still plenty early, but we're already starting to formulate, hey, this horse may be worth watching going forward. And I think it's going to be a nice weekend out of Keeneland.
No, absolutely. Like you said, you know, this past weekend kind of showed us, you know, some divisions and where they're going to lead to. We're going to have next week. We're going to have some racing as well, you know, the past couple of weeks. And again, you kind of target what horses you like, you know, maybe races you think are tosses, maybe horses you think, you know, you give another shot to. And that's the best part about horse racing. You sort of just gather all that information, come up with an educated guess. And, you know, on Breeders' Cup Day, we know how crazy it can be. You know, horses that finish third or fourth, beating 13, can come back and win the race at 20-1. And, you know, that's the fun in the game. So.
And I won't bring up your sad story from last year, which you shared with, with many, many people.
I still need therapy for that. I had crazy modern games. I wasn't part of the Breeders' Cup seminar. I told you beforehand, I said, just give me a shout-out that I liked Modern Games as my play of the day in the Breeders' Cup day one. And ultimately, that was the incident where, you know, he ended up getting scratched right before the race. You know, the horse had broken through. They thought that inadvertently was scratched, taken out of the pool. They wanted to race him. They raced him. I mean, everybody who watched it knows what ultimately happened, but, you know, I had to pick four. You know, but I wasn't the only one.
There was many people. Plenty of those stories. That's, you know, there are a lot of ways to lose at the track. That was a brand new one, and that was one that's just like,
Yeah, that wasn't in the 1,000 ways to lose. That was a different. They need to add a section to the book. So
it's in the appendix.
Yeah, so they had forgot that part, but yeah, I mean, you just sort of move on and go from there. Everybody has stories about how you lost by a nose or you got disqualified from something, but to actually see your horse cross the wire first. It was difficult.
I feel for you, believe me.
Yeah.
All right, so some great events coming up. And, you know, folks can go to the website to check promos and events, as always, as well. In the meantime, during the month of August, or during the month of October, and I wish it was August, during the month
we're
of
so
October,
used to doing the rundown for Saratoga because that's our busiest season. So,
you know, there's still great stuff coming up in the next few weeks as well, so you can check all of that out. But it looks like a really fun week and weekend of Breeders' Cup time. So, Mike, we appreciate the thought.
Absolutely, and good luck to everybody.
All right, I'll wrap it up here as we are approaching the top of the hour. We did some nice stakes recaps again on a great stakes day yesterday, really across the country, and some results that will clearly play into that Breeders' Cup. Once again, a reminder, Santa Anita today, the early pick five, there's a ginormous carryover, $406,000. Early pick five at Santa Anita today, so keep that in mind as well. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so, OTB Live, for a Sunday afternoon, taking a look at some Keeneland, some Belmont. We'll probably plug in a little Saratoga harness as well. All of that coming up a little bit later on. Appreciate your tuning in this morning. We'll see you later.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.